Thank you. Each of these three readings that we just heard points to this single idea in Christian theology, which is called the incarnation. And the incarnation is this concept that God, who is infinite and invisible and beyond human comprehension, poured God's self into the form of a human child, being made in human likeness in flesh and bones. And in the Christian tradition, when we celebrate Christmas, this is what we celebrate, this idea of God taking on flesh and becoming made in the form of humankind, in the form of Jesus. And the story that Kendra read for us about Mary and the angel is a story that I grew up hearing since I was a little girl. And it's kind of funny because I knew that story at a time when I was so young that I didn't know how normal babies were made. And so there was nothing particularly surprising to me about that event. I just kind of took it as it was and went on with it. And so I started to think about that idea of the incarnation, about God becoming a baby, at a time when I was still young enough to have this boundless imagination that was unjaded by the skepticism that I would later find as I grew up. And so I'm now older and wiser and a lot more jaded and skeptical. And even though there are some Bible stories that I take less literally than I did when I was a child, the story of the incarnation isn't one of them. And that's because the thing about the incarnation for me personally is that not just related to Bible stories, but of all the stories I've ever heard, it speaks to the deepest longings of my heart. And when I quiet all of the external noise and chaos in my life, no matter how old I get or how I'm feeling at a particular time, I realize that my longing remains the same. I long for there to be something or someone that's greater than I am. Someone who created me with intention and with delight. Someone who has freed me to live and love and fail and do the best I can, all the while watching over me with infinite interest and compassion. And though most days I believe deeply in that someone whom I call God, there are plenty of days in my life where who God is has not been enough for me. There have been days when my sadness has bordered on despair, when my loneliness has been suffocating, and when my own inability to affect change in myself or in the world has made me feel like life is just too much and that I'm not enough. And I'm coming to realize more and more that my feelings are not unique and that they are in fact an inherent part of what it is to be human. And as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of a story in the Old Testament of the Bible about this guy named Job. And this story was written centuries before Jesus was born. And Job was a guy who lived a good and faithful life, but in the course of a single day, his world was turned upside down. His livestock, his servants, and all of his children were killed. And as he's mourning this immense loss, his body is covered with sores. And though Job doesn't lose his faith in God throughout all of this, he does not take it without questioning God's wisdom or remarking on the harsh unfairness of his situation. And there comes a point in Job's story where he's talking about God, and he says, "He's not a man like me that I might confront him in court. If only there were someone who could arbitrate between us, who could lay his hand upon us both." This idea of a far-off, invisible, infinite God is not enough for Job. And I'm realizing it's not enough for me either. Just like Job, I long at the core of my being for a God who can meet me on my own finite terms, because those are the only terms that I have. I long for someone who can meet me in all of my limitedness and connect me to the one who is unlimited and ever beyond my knowing. I long for incarnation. And I realize that it might be presumptuous of me to assume that everyone shares this same exact longing that Job and I have in common. But the more I thought about it, I don't know. I think that there might be something in each of us that longs for incarnation. When we're hungry, we long for actual food. When we're tired, we long for actual sleep. When our checking accounts are overdrawn, we long for actual money. When we're lonely, what we long for most is not a stranger to chat with online, but a friend or a lover we can hold in our arms. I think that in our deepest longings, our hearts cry out for incarnation. And in the readings we heard today, there's this idea that when we long for God, Jesus is the actualization of the God that we long for. The scriptures that we heard tell us that Jesus is God in the flesh, who comes to dwell not above or within, but among us. And I've come to realize, as I've been thinking about this in the past few weeks, I think that it's my own longing in my heart for the actualization of God in my life that is itself the confirmation for my own faith in the incarnation. And I'd like to share a story about a moment when the incarnation became real to me as an adult. And when I first understood the true implications of it for the first time. Right after I graduated from college, I became a foster mom. And it was a really strange experience becoming a mother overnight. Because when you have a child biologically, you have several months to at least attempt to mentally prepare yourself for being a parent. But for me, I became a mother when I was 22 years old. And someone else's four-week-old baby was placed in my arms. And due to a health condition that had gone untreated, the moment I received him, he was hardly breathing. He was gasping for breath. And so I put him in the car and rushed to the ER. And during the entire time I had him, we were in and out of the hospital trying to get his health under control. And so during that time, I was learning how to be a mother through advocating for my baby and through teaching him how to fight for breath and for life. And the whole time I had him in my home, my love for him grew deeper than any love I've ever known. And one day in December, I was sitting on the couch holding him and cuddling him and talking to him, and Christmas was on my mind. And in that moment with him in the living room, I was just struck by this realization that God had become a baby, just like the one in my arms. And as I was holding him, my hand started shaking, and I held him tight to my chest, and I became acutely aware of his own fragility and of his utter dependence upon me in order to live. And as I held him, I started crying as I realized that just as I had been entrusted with this baby who wasn't my own, God had entrusted himself to a human mother, to human hands to bathe and feed and protect and care for him. And in that moment, I was seized by this physical, tangible, overwhelmingly intense, this realization of what the incarnation was and what the implications were and what that truly meant. And as I was sitting there holding my baby, the Christmas tree was shining behind me, and my heart and my soul just praised God in that moment for taking such an absurd risk to become this physical, tangible answer to the deepest longings in my heart. And as I've been thinking about this sermon over the past few weeks, I've had this picture of my baby near me. And I've been thinking about this little boy who was once a child of mine, but whom the system ultimately failed. Soon after Christmas, he went back home to his biological family, the same family that had not gotten him the medical treatment that he needed before he came to me. And when he left, it was like my heart was being ripped out of my chest. It was inconceivable to me that even though I loved him with everything I had, even though I spent sleepless nights with him when he was crying and couldn't fall asleep, and spent hours in the hospital at his bedside, and even though he cried when I left the room and smiled when I came back, none of that ultimately mattered to a system that was broken. And so he was treated like a file to be processed, a quick decision to be made by people who were overwhelmed and underpaid and had too many other children's cases on their plate to be truly focused on his. But he was not a file to be processed or a quick decision to be made. He was and he is a little boy, and his name is Joshua. And now wherever he is, he's 5 years old. And he's growing up in a country that does not cherish or protect or advocate for little boys who look like him. And as I've been looking at his picture these past few weeks, I can't help but think about Trayvon or Michael or Eric. I can't help but wonder if someday soon this little boy is going to be running around on a playground with other little black boys playing with toy guns like my brothers did when they were growing up. But because he looks more like Tamir Rice than he looks like my brothers, he might wind up dead. And I can't help but wonder with absolute dread if one day the system will ultimately fail him to the point of death. And as I long for his safety, as I long for his thriving, as I long for his overcoming of every obstacle stacked against him, as I long for a new world order that will cherish and protect and support every boy and girl, woman and man who looks like him, I long for incarnation, and I hope that you do too. I hope that like me, you are physically pained by the system we have inherited in which all are created equal on paper, but not in practice, in which we can spend our entire lives in this country and still believe that the American dream is attainable by everyone if they would just work hard enough, and by the oppressive notion that good behavior is the road to justice and peace. This Advent season, our nation is crying out for incarnation. And for Christians, it's not enough to sit around in homes and coffee shops and churches and think peaceful thoughts. While it is important to cultivate the desires for peace and justice in ourselves first and foremost, the example of our God who entered into the human struggle demands that we too struggle with and alongside one another until peace and true justice come for us all. When God took on flesh in the form of Jesus, He was not a passive participant in the society that he inherited. He took a stand again and again, challenging closed-minded religious leaders, refusing to bow to the whims of the state, and standing firmly on the side of the oppressed. This is what the incarnation looked like then, and this is what it looks like now. As men and women all over our country are becoming the change that they want to see in the world. The God that Christians proclaim could not witness suffering without ultimately entering into it, and so must we. This is what it means when Christians talk about being the body of Christ in the world. And this is what it means when we take that loaf and we pass it to the person next to us and we say, "This is my body." We're saying that we want the incarnation to take place within and among all of us. We're saying that we're willing to get our hands dirty to build a better world for one another. And so my prayer this Advent is that we would allow the Spirit of God to convict and empower us, showing us the way into the heart of this struggle before us and revealing what we individually and collectively have to offer to the world. Reading and listening and expanding our minds, writing and voting and taking to the streets, having hard conversations with our families and our friends and our children, demanding change with our presence and our voices. Our world needs us to show up with heart and mind, flesh and bones for the struggle, just like God did 2,000 years ago. This is the incarnation that is desperately needed this Christmas, an incarnation where we choose to show up like Jesus did. Amen. Tim's going to come up in a minute and lead us in a song. And while that song is happening, I would invite you all to think about a question that we'll talk about in a few minutes. And that question is, what are the implications of this idea of incarnation in your life? When you look at the things that are happening in our culture, in the lives of people you know, what are concrete, tangible ways that you feel you can step in, that you can offer something where there is a need, where there's a longing? How can you bring your own flesh and bones and energy and passion to a struggle that's currently going on around you? So I invite you to think about that. Listen.